If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. And if you have your phone, I want to encourage you to take those out because we're going to do a little participation thing as we get going. Super excited about this series. We're going to be walking through this all summer and really looking at Scripture from starting at Genesis and kind of looking at it through Revelation and looking at the big idea of the story of God. And the thing is about the story of God, whether you're looking at the Old Testament or New Testament, it all centers and points to Jesus. Sometimes we tend to think of like Old Testament as like God the Father, creation, and wrathful, angry, hateful God. And then we show up in the Gospels and it's like, ooh, Jesus shows up and Jesus loves everybody. And then it's like Jesus goes away and then we get the latter part of the New Testament and it's like the Holy Spirit. We can sometimes see it in like three different chunks and that's not at all how it is. They've all three always been there. And so we're going to look at really the story of Scripture and how that plays out. But if you would, go ahead and hit that next slide. We've done this before. It's been a little while since we've done this, but I want to encourage you to participate. Open up your browser, type in sli.do. Open up your browser. The more the people that participate in this, the better it'll be. So take out your phones, pull this up. It's all anonymous, so like this is not encrypted. Like you're not getting like you're not submitting your phone number, and you're gonna start getting all these crazy weird things, or there's no spam, or you don't have to put your name on this. So just go to sli.do and enter in this hashtag June 2. And then once you get that pulled up, there's just a few questions in here. This will kind of give me a little frame of reference point for where we're at as the series, as we get started in this series. The first one's just kind of a fun question. Anybody like to read books? How many book readers in here? Do we have a few? How many of you would just rather watch the movie? It's like, just show me the movie. There we go. That's where I'm at. So as you answer this first question, if you read books, read it from a book perspective. If you just watch the movies, just do it from the movies perspective. This first one's kind of a fun one. Go ahead and switch over. We'll see as they come in. So what type of books do you read / what kind of movies do you watch? You can actually pick two. It'll let you pick two. So if some of you are torn between like, you know, I gotta watch my comedy and I gotta have my romance too. I gotta shed some tears and watch a happy married story or whatever. I gotta do that or my action. Or maybe you're one of those people that just like to get scared and be freaked out every time you walk through your house when it's dark. I don't know. Maybe that's you. So you see those come in. Thank you for participating. I guess the most people we've ever had participate. So you can keep seeing as those come in. So mystery and suspense. Here's the cool thing. One reason I asked this question is because all of these kind of things, I think you can find in Scripture. Now, the sci-fi fantasy, maybe not so much, but there's some things that's like, oh, wow, that's almost supernatural that kind of happens. So maybe that even that's there. But there's so many things in Scripture that if you just look at the Bible simply as a historical book, you really miss out on the adventure and the story and the creativity of God as an author, because I think we see all of these elements in there to some degree. All right, so I'm going to end this one, and there's going to be another question that you can activate. So, well, I said it would. There it goes. All right, so there's another question popping up. All right, so how well do you understand the Bible's overarching story and be able to share it with someone else? So one being absolutely none, like whatsoever, like who's God almost, to seven being like super confident, send me out today, send me wherever, and I think I could explain the overarching story. And so go ahead and vote on that, and we'll kind of see where those are coming in. And the cool thing is, as we see these come in, I hope this series meets you wherever you're at in this, that if you feel super confident, this will just challenge you and encourage you and push you a little bit more. It looks like most of us are 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. So I think hopefully this will help you catch a better understanding so that you grow in your confidence. And maybe if you just feel really like you don't understand it at all, that's definitely great as well. I think this will be a benefit to you. All right, so I'm going to switch over. I got two more questions real quick. This next one that'll pop up is reading and applying the Bible into my own daily life is something I fill in the blank. I've never tried to do. I really struggle to do. Only do when life gets tough. You got a few options in there. You can pick which one applies to you most right now based on where you're at. And I found that a lot of times when we struggle to do it, is also directly connected, because we can feel like we don't understand how to do it. And so I'm hoping through this that we can give you some tools, put some ideas in front of you that'll help you be able to come before God's word and understand it. So thank you all again so much for participating and chiming in on this stuff. It gives great background and perspective. All right, last question, and then we're going to get rolling. This one's an open text one, so I'm going to leave it open and then go ahead and jump into the rest of the stuff this morning. But there we go. For me, the Bible is fill in the blank. So I didn't give you choices on this one. You got to think a little bit. But if you were to just fill in the blank right there, for me, the Bible is fill in the blank. It could be anything. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's a phrase. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. It's an opinion you have about it. It's a source of comfort for you. I don't know what it is. But you just fill in the blank. And we're going to go ahead, if you guys want to go ahead and switch off that screen and keep sending those answers in. And I'll post that out later so that we can see how all that plays out. So as we start thinking about the Bible and you start thinking about where you're at in the midst of this, because this is the thing, our temptation as we step into this is to just look at the Bible and think of it as just a book that I'm supposed to read. And yes, it is a book that you should read, but there's so much more to it than just simply reading a book. And so, yes, God is the author of it, and we believe that. Yes, over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years, He inspired people to uniquely put pen to paper, so to speak, and write it out. But God inspired them and led them to do that. And so we see that, and we have the Bible as it is now, but for us just to look at it as a book of historical stories or something that we pick and choose and pull a little bit from here and there when we need it, we're really losing the overarching story and context and how God wants us to read it. And so my hope through this is that you'll become more comfortable, have greater understanding of God's overarching story that plays out in Scripture. But as you do that, I think what He does is He begins to speak to you about your own story, about your own life and your own journey and what you've went through and how He's made you and the things that He wants to talk to you about. And sometimes it's hard to understand that if we don't understand that underneath the overarching story that God's always been writing. So there's a lot of things that we could chase as we go through this series this summer. We could get into a lot of the timelines and the dating of Scripture and, you know, the original writings and the canonization of Scripture and the process that it came to be. We could get into a lot of those things, and that's not the direction that I want to go in this series. There's a lot of great resources out there. If that's something you'd like to know more about, like, put that on your connection card and I'll send you some stuff you can read on during the week. But for the purpose of the series, we're not going to go down that road, although those are good conversations to have and necessary. But we're going to focus on the overarching story. So I have three goals for us as we work through the series. The first one, I already said it. I want us to become more familiar with the overarching story of Scripture. What is the narrative that's there? Number two, I've already said this, I want you to be more dialed into your own personal story, because all of our stories and our life stories take place within God's greater story that He's writing. So I want you to become more familiar with your own story. And then three is for you to be more comfortable and more confident to then be able to speak about God's story and your story to the people around you when they have questions. Because your understanding of that is so powerful and it's going to be so unique that I think God brings people across your paths at certain times that needs to hear the way that God has worked in your life through that. So that's our goal. So the invitation for us as we jump into this is kind of summed up in James 4 and verse 8, where God says that if you will draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. And that's the invitation. That's where I want us to pull in close to God this morning. So a challenge is, even though it's summertime and it's a great, great crowd this morning, I don't want you to miss this summer. If you're in town, don't miss. If you're out, jump in on Facebook, catch up online, because every week's going to kind of build and it's going to progress as we go throughout Scripture. At the same time, we're going to have some resources to give out to you, so we'll be sending that out. If you're not on our text message, on our group text message list, and you want to be on that, I'm going to be sending out some resources, a link to some resources tomorrow, so you can put your name on the connection card and say, add me to the text list. We can do that. But there's going to be a few different resources in this that we're going to send out to you. The first one is going to be based upon your own life story. It's going to help you kind of go through a process of understanding your own life story. There's going to be a resource in there for those of us, if you have young kids in your home and you want to start teaching your kids about God's greater story, I'm going to have some resources in there that you can sit down as a family and talk through God's story with a kid on a kid's level. And for you as an adult, there'll be some resources there for you as well. If you want to dive into some of this stuff deeper and really wrestle through some questions as we unpack this, there'll be some resources there for that as well, and also some videos from the Bible Project that I'm going to send to you as well. So here we go. We're going to begin. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read a whole lot right here, so hang with me. In the beginning, God created. Actually, we're just going to stop right there. Can't go any further. I know at this rate, we'll never get through the Bible by the summer, right? That's what you're thinking already. But we have to stop right here, because in the beginning, God created. This brings us to a fundamental question we have to ask. Why did God create? You ever thought about that before? Why did God create? I mean, if God was already in existence, why did God create? Why did he need to create anything? If God has already been here, he's always been. He was not created. He's just always been. Why did God need to create? I don't know the exact answer, but the thought that I had is this, is that God created from a place of love because that's who he is. And that's kind of our big idea. When we step back and ask, well, why did God create? I think maybe God created, and he did that from a place of love, because love is ultimately who God is. We read in 1 John 4:8, it says to us that he is love. And that if we do not love, then we do not know God, because God is definitely love. And so there's it's out of the core of who he is, at the core of who God is, he is a God of love. And so if this is the overarching narrative and the core quality of who God is that God is love, then it's from this paradigm that we understand that he created. And there's so many thoughts that can complicate on the view that we have toward God, depending on your upbringing or depending on what you've allowed yourself to believe. We can have these perspectives on God and why he created and what he did. And we can look at it and say, well, doesn't God have other qualities? Well, yes, God is holy. We see that throughout Scripture. And God distanced himself from anything that is unholy. We say that, doesn't God show anger, and doesn't his wrath come out, and his judgment, and don't we see all these other things? Yes, we see these responses from God, but I think that's what they are. They're responses that come from God. God is not in his nature wrathful God. God is love. Here's where wrath, and here's where judgment, and here's where some of those other things come up that we see about God. I think God created us out of love. So anytime that something tries to interrupt that love relationship, God gets angry toward that. He doesn't get angry toward you. He gets angry toward the thing that is interrupting that love relationship, which is the reason that he created us. See, if you think about it, it's one thing to say that I love people. It's another thing to actually have someone in your life that you can demonstrate that love to. And I think it's from that perspective that God being love said, I'm going to create. So yes, God's wrath, God's anger shows up when anything interferes or blocks or severs that love relationship that he's created for us to have. And so if you've ever grown up thinking about any other paradigm towards Scripture other than the fact that God created out of a place of love, it may fall short, and it may impact the way that you've come to actually see and interpret Scripture. I mean, think about it. Why did he create? Did he create just to punish people? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Did God create just so he could control us? Well, obviously he doesn't control us, because he didn't make you come here this morning. You chose to get up and come. You will be able to choose, for the most part, what you do this afternoon and what you do later today. So he's given us some freedom to choose. So it wasn't because he wanted to control people. Is it because he just wanted to hold things back and restrict and micromanage a group of people? Well, no. Any good parent knows that, like, you don't want to feed negativity into your kids. And God's the same way. God created from a place of love. And so as this story begins, I believe it's important for us to understand that this narrative of God is love, and it's out of love and wanting, not needing, but wanting to be able to demonstrate that love is why God created. And so when we look at that, we jump into scripture. And so in the beginning, God created, and here's the next point I want us to think about underneath this. So God created from a place of love because that's who he is. But here's the other thing we see is before everything came to be, he already was. Before everything came to be, everything and everybody came to be, God already was. It's like, did you ever hear growing up as a kid, like your parents would say something to you like, I brought you into this world, and what? I can take you out of it, right? And it's I will use that phrase sometimes with my own kids, but it's amazing when they come to grips with this reality that like somebody's been here before you. Like, we took them to see the Aladdin movie. Anybody seen the Aladdin movie yet? Okay, two people. All right, whatever. So we took them to watch the Aladdin movie last week, and because we grow up, like, we grew up watching the Aladdin movie, and so we get in the theater and we're joking with them. We're like, we know the lyrics to all the songs. Like, we're gonna sing them while we're sitting here. The boys are like, oh no, you don't know the lyrics to the songs. And sure enough, when they get on that magic carpet ride, like, we're both like, we had one of the boys was in between us, and so we're like, we're leaning over singing to them in the middle. There was like nobody else in the theater, thankfully, or I wouldn't have been singing, but they're just looking at us and they're like, how do you know all these songs? We're like, we've been here before you. Like, we've already seen this movie. We know what's going to happen. Like, we know these songs, they're in our heart. And we were driving back yesterday from going somewhere, and I pulled up, you know, music, and I started playing Aladdin songs, and Caden was like, this is ridiculous. Are you serious? I'm like, hey, we've been here before. Like, we know these things that are in us. So anyway, my point is, though, we have these moments, right, when you really realize, oh yeah, somebody's been here before me. Well, good news. God has been here before you. Before you ever showed up, before you ever took a breath and walked on this earth, God was already here. You say, well, duh, I know that. What does that mean for me? That means as you're going through life and there's things that come at you, there's one that's already been here. There's one that's already in control. There's one that's holding everything together. We read in Revelation 22:13. God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He has essentially always been. He was here before you, and he'll be here after you, even when we leave this earth. God's created from a place from love. So those moments for us that seem so confusing, that seem as if we don't understand what's going on, we can take comfort in knowing that God created from a place of love. And out of that place of love, he has been here before us, and he will sustain us through whatever it is that we go through. That is a story, that is a part of the story that we see in Scripture. John 1:1-3 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, talking about Jesus. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Following the same thought, in the beginning, God created. We also see that as the creator of all things, he can be trusted with all things. As the creator of all things, he can be trusted with all things. Our ability to trust is ultimately measured by the validity of the one in whom we're trusting. Think of it like this. So if I said, great news, Shannon, I built a car yesterday, and I want to give it to you. Now, how's excited is he? Because he knows me, and he knows I probably never really lifted a tool in my life. But if I say, Shannon, I built you a car, and I want you to take your family in it and go have fun today, I'm sure he's going to be like, oh, great. How do I make sure this thing doesn't leave the parking lot? Like, because he knows, like, the one that's created it, there's not a lot of validity there. Like, there's not a lot of trust in that. But if I said, hey, Shannon, like, I had some extra money, and I went and bought you a Ferrari. You want to take your family for a spin in it and maybe have it? What'd you think about that? A little better, a little more confident. Why? Because he knows who's built it, right? This is not Josh Duncan trying to watch a YouTube video and build a car. This is a company that has experience building a car, and it's reputable and it's in place, so you can trust it. Now, on a much more serious level, if we put ourselves in airplanes and elevators and in all these things because we trust them, right? In the same way, should we not trust the creator of the universe? The one who holds all things together. He is the one that created all things. So trust him, church. We can trust him with all things. This galaxy that he has created and that we live in spins at I can't wrap my mind around this, 500,000 miles per hour. There are over 100 billion galaxies. And we think that God is not big enough to handle the things that we go through in our life. As the creator of all things, church, I want to remind us this morning that he can be trusted. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this. It says, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Church, when you can't hold things together, you can be reminded and be comforted this morning to know that even though you can't hold it together, you can't keep your grip on it, the one that's created you and everything around you has a stronger grip on you than you'll ever have on him. And that's what we cling to. It's not our ability to hold on to him, but it's his ability as the creator to hold on to us. And so we see in the magnitude of all of this, the power of God, his love, his desire to be in a love relationship with what he's created. But it says in the beginning, we skip into chapter 2, we see God creates in Genesis chapter 2. We then see that God determines what we need. In Genesis 2, 15 and 17, it says, the Lord took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you shall surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So God created all things. We can trust him with all things in the midst of trusting him because he's created out of a place of love. He determines what we need. He knows, as the creator, he knows what we need. The issue is, though, sometimes we struggle to trust, and we think that we better understand what we need than what God says that we need. There's a phrase in what we call the Lord's Prayer that sometimes gets lost, and we rumble right through it because there's other things that maybe stick out to us more. So if you look at that in Matthew 6, verse 11, there's a real short little phrase in there that says, give us this day our daily bread. I think a lot of times we can look at that part in that prayer and we can think of that as, God, I don't want to go hungry today. Like, make sure I have some food. But I think there's so much more to that than just it being about God providing what we need for food. I think when we pray those kind of prayers, God, give me today what I need, it's all encompassing. It's not just, God, give me food. It's saying, God, I'm going to trust you as the creator of the universe, as the one who was here before me, as the one who has created all things. You deserve to be trusted. So today, I'm going to trust you. Give me today what I need, because I know that you know best, and I'm going to trust you. But in the midst of all this, in God creating and doing that out of love and forming us from the dirt and from the rib of Adam and breathing life in us, in the midst of him doing all of these things, we come to really what's the first turning point in this narrative of Scripture. And it's when we see this trust relationship get broken for the first time. It's the first evidence of pride that we see that shows up. And we can be so quick to think that maybe, well, okay, this is Adam and Eve, I know where he's going. Actually, there was a fall that happened before that that resulted in the one who is now God's great opposition and ours as well. It's the fall of Satan. As a created being, he desired to be as God was. and out of jealousy and all these things. We read a little bit about this in Ezekiel. An example in Ezekiel, an example in Isaiah, that they're talking historically about the fall of certain kings and their kingdoms, but scholars can also interpret this to think that as it's kind of a dual purpose. It's talking about a fall of a king from their kingdom, but it's also painting a picture of Satan, Lucifer, and his fall from being with God. Ezekiel describes it like this. It says, "Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord of God, you are the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." Verse 17 says, "But your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes upon you." And then we jump in. So we see there's a fall. There's a severed trust, submissive relationship. It begins with Satan, and then we see it shows up then in humanity. We come to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7. And you're probably familiar with the story of where Satan now shows up in, through the form of a snake and begins to speak to Adam and Eve. And there's this process that he does of wanting them ultimately to forget about the fact that God's created them to be in this love relationship with him. God has created them in this way, so Satan shows up. And so I would say to us this morning, don't ignore the enemy's desire to destroy you. As beautiful as the gospel and the story of Scripture is about a love relationship that God wants to have with his people, just as with any story, there's a villain. There's someone that doesn't want to see the hero do what the hero's meant to do. The hero in our story is Jesus. And in Satan's efforts to wreck his role in the story, he also wants to wreck our lives. And the more that you and I seek to know God, the more that he'll push back, the stronger the opposition will be, the more the temptations will seem to be easily accessible to us. God will be there to strengthen us through it. But don't ignore the enemy's desire to destroy you. But God's love is far greater. He uses several things just for alliteration purposes. These all begin with the letter D. So here, ways that he comes at them. He places doubt upon them. And the words that God has spoken, he speaks doubt over them. Discouragement, belittling them. He uses diversion. He takes their focus from one place and diverts it to somewhere else. He just straight up uses defeat. We see the guilt that comes over them as they make this mistake and choose to not. It was not about the apple, okay? There was nothing wrong. It wasn't like this sacred apple that they weren't supposed to eat. It was all about, it could have been a banana. I don't know if it was an apple. It doesn't matter what it was. It was an opportunity for them to say, "God, yes, I trust you." And they instead chose to say, "No, I think I'll trust myself. I think I'll trust the one who's deceiving me rather than the one who's created me." There's this delay in their obedience. There's this discord then that strikes up between Adam and Eve. So there's ways that we combat this and that we go against it, but it begins by us understanding that God has created us from a place of love. But just as much as he wants to love us, there's one that wants to destroy us. If God created us from love because that's who he is, we have to understand that the enemy is working against us from a place of just being a bitter, sore loser because that's who he is. And his efforts to take us down, he won't relent in the midst of that. But here's the good news, and I'll end with this as we get started in this series. In Genesis 3, 8, and 9, even after they eat the fruit and they fall and the pride has shown up, the trust has been broken, here's the beauty of what I love about the God that we serve. Genesis 3, 8, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." But, verse 9, I love this. "But the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you?" Here's what I love. Here's the takeaway that I have from this is that in love, God seeks us out even when we've blown it. Even when we've blown it, God seeks us out. There is this narrative of love that follows all through Scripture about God chasing down his people, his creation. You and I And this is where our stories start to step into this. Because you see, God has created every single one of us that's here this morning. But just as much as there is a created beginning for every single one of us, there's also a rebellion. There's a fall. There's a part of our story where we rejected God and we pushed away from Him for every single one of us. But the good news in that is that even though there's creation, which is a part of the narrative, there is the fall, which is a part of the narrative, there's also redemption. And even after redemption, there's restoration. And as we look at Scripture and we unpack this throughout the summer, I'm excited for us to be reminded that God created from a place of love because that's who He is. And even when we've blown it, even when you look back and you unpack parts of your story where God just wasn't that much in your life, He's still chasing you down. He's still inviting you, saying, come, just come to Me. My arms are open. So let Me take you back. That's what He wants. In the midst of us falling, in the midst of what we see happen in the garden in Genesis 3, even though God comes to them, yes, there's still consequences, right? They're banned from the garden. Ultimately, they don't live forever. There's consequences that you and I still carry now to the fact that we live in a fallen creation. But that doesn't mean the story's over. God created from a place of love. So to recap what we've looked at as we get started. God's created all things out of love. In our humanity, every single one of us, we naturally struggle to trust His love. So if you're here this morning wondering, can I trust Him? I would say yes, but look, I get it. I know in some seasons of life, it is hard to trust Him. But you can trust Him because He is the one who is created and who has been before all things, yet He chases us down even when our trust is lacking. I'm going to ask the team if they would to come on up. And I just want to ask you to begin to reflect just for a moment. If you would just to bow your heads and just to begin to think, God, what does this mean for me in this morning? How do I respond to You in this moment? If His arms are open wide, if He did create us from a place of love, what does that mean for me right now in this moment? What is it in my life that maybe I'm not trusting God with as I should? Maybe it gets back to just stepping into a relationship with Him for the very first time. Last week we got to celebrate a baptism and life change and someone taking that step for Christ. Maybe that's you. Hey, we'll fill it up again and let's baptize you and celebrate God's work in your life. Maybe you know you've trusted Him in that way. You're already a follower of Christ, but you've just never taken that step of baptism. Maybe that's your next step. That's a part of the story that God wants to write in your life. So I don't know how this will hit you in these moments, but as the team just sings over you, I want you to feel the freedom to respond. If that means praying in your seat, pray. If that means just looking up toward heaven and just speaking words to God, then you do that. If that means you stand to your feet and you sing and you just receive the invitation. I don't know what this moment will look like for you, but you let God lead you into that. But most of all, church, don't just sit through a service, hear about God's love and His calling for us to trust Him and then just say, yeah, good, all right, moving on with my day. Like He wants to speak right into you right now in this moment. He loves you enough. He created you out of love, so trust me. He loves you enough to speak to you in this moment. Just listen. There's something about what you're going through right now that He's trying to say to you. Just listen. And then take it and hold it. But remember, as much as you hold on to Him, His grip is even tighter than yours. Father, I thank You that You didn't create us to manipulate us. You didn't create us to force us into anything. But yet, because You are love, You created. Forgive us, Father, for when we lose sight of that. For when we get so busy in our worlds, we forget about the fact that this is Yours. It's not ours. The lives that we live as Your church, as followers, those of us that have trusted You as our God and our King and our Savior through Jesus, You tell us in Your Word that It is no longer we who live, but it is you that lives in us. And we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and gave himself up for us. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, even to us when we're unfaithful. Help us to trust. Help us to become more familiar with you in the midst of this. Let that begin this morning. So we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, God. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.